Forever could never be long enough for me. I feel like I've had long enough with you. Forget the world now, we won't let them see. But there's one thing left to do. Now that the weight has lifted, love has surely shifted my
this
way.
This is the Doug Haldeman Show, brought to you by the Real Estate Radio Network.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman, here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Yay, thanks for having me.
Also here with Tom Turbrock. Welcome back, Tom.
Woot, woot.
You're always welcome to contact us directly by texting or calling on our off-air number at 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684. And be sure and like us on our Facebook page, right, Tammy?
That's right. Like.
And what is our Facebook page?
Doug Haldeman.
Show.
Show.com.
Doug Haldeman,
like,
Show.
I almost...
Catching you off guard.
Yeah, you did.
You better
I
pay
was
attention.
Doing some notes. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
If I was a newscaster, I'd have that paper just shuffling right in front of me. You
right,
know,
exactly, in front
that.
Of the camera.
It's all good. So you were leading into, you have some secret formula for couples?
Yes,
credit?
Combining accounts. You ought to be a little bit familiar with this since I made
I
us do it, too.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. We're still in the process. Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing is when I've sat with thousands of couples over the years, okay, first off, you know, I'm in the mortgage business, so, you know, of course I'm doing mortgages, but people always get, when they come in for a consultation with me, I give them a lot more than just a mortgage, because okay, I think right. that these days, a mortgage is no longer a mortgage, but it's a financial instrument that literally needs to be woven into your long and short-term financial investment plan.
Right.
So together with them, I want to help them build wealth by having a proper debt strategy. And part of that debt strategy can't get put into place unless all their bank accounts are in place too.
Right.
So the very first place I think that people should start financially, especially as a couple, is with a written budget.
Okay? Yes,
so
definitely.
Taking a written budget, and budget is like, you know, it's like spraying mace in some people's face when you start trying to
what
talk
do you think,
about
Tom?
Budget.
Budget.
It scares people.
What?
You know, it totally scares some people. And here's the thing I'd say about budgeting is it doesn't have to be confining in the sense that, like, it will make you spend less money, yes. But the best thing to do, I think, to start with a budget is to look at your last at least 6 months of bank statements and even the last 12 months. But the last 6 months and see, where did you spend your money? Hey, how much did you spend on gas? How much did you spend going out? You know, how much did you spend on,
right.
you know, on some frivolous things?
Right.
Okay, and it's okay. Maybe you work those things into the budget if you don't want to change anything, but at least you'll know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And as a couple, getting on the same page is so important. So,
it is. It's identifying those needs and wants, I think, is super important.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because you have to have a plan that if something happens with your incomes where they go down,
mm-hmm.
Or you really want to start saving, saving doesn't happen by accident.
Right.
It happens by being very intentional about saving a certain percentage of your income. So when we look at these accounts, what is the best setup on bank accounts? So I start with one center account that we'll call the bills account, and it's a checking account. Okay, there are no debit cards that anybody gets to carry off this account. It's a joint account, husband and wife, and all the normal monthly bills come out of this account. Okay, all your utilities, any car payments, house payment, any of those
the
things
fixed
come off.
Expenses.
Right. In general, fixed expenses. Certain utilities mm-hmm. aren't quite fixed, but there's still
things
that should come off
it's
there.
It's in every month.
Right. And you should be able to budget that. Okay. Then each person has their own expense account. So like in our case, there's a Doug expense account and there's a Tammy expense account.
Which I like.
Yes.
That idea.
Absolutely. And with those accounts, in many cases, I don't recommend people having checks that they can write off of those accounts.
Mm-hmm.
You only have a debit card. Okay. And what would be a guess on why for that?
Because when you go to the ATM machine and it says insufficient funds, that means you.
Right.
Not the bank.
You can't keep spending. Right. So some couples, it doesn't matter. Like some couples are plenty responsible enough where they can have checks. Doesn't matter. But other couples, one party out of that couple really shouldn't have a checkbook because they can overdraw it.
Right.
But when you know, and don't give overdraft protection on it. So when you try to use that debit card, you know, and a big, you know, you go to the ATM
NSF.
Machine and a big cage starts to come down around your car.
Exactly.
That's a good indicator that there's no money there.
Exactly.
So you each have your expense account, and then you think about what are the expenses, you know, for entertainment? Mm-hmm. How much do you spend on gas? Because one person may drive a lot further than the other or get worse gas mileage. Does one person do the grocery shopping? Mm-hmm. If you know, what's the budget for groceries? Is it $300 a month? Not in our house.
No.
A week, maybe.
A week.
But put that amount of money in there, so the person who does the grocery shopping has that amount of money in the account. So I have friends that have been doing this for years. I mean, Mike and Gina are good friends of mine that have been doing this. They make plenty of money, but they budget themselves on $100,000 a year, and they make a lot more than that. But they have a family of five, budgeting $100,000 a year, and what they put in their expense accounts is not a lot of money. So toward the end of the month, when they want to actually go out to eat, they have to go Dutch sometimes because one of them may not have enough money left in their account, in their expense account, to be able to go out to eat. It changes their habits and in turn lowers their spending and they save more money.
Right.
Okay, so then the fourth account, you each have your expense accounts and there's a budget amount that goes in there.
So let's go to, okay, the flow is that you have a main account.
You have your bills account.
Bills account.
And then off of each of those, you
expense
have your
accounts.
Expense account for each person.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how much is in the budget that gets transferred into each of those accounts.
Got it.
And if you have direct deposit, you can decide the different accounts that money goes into.
Right.
Or you could have it all deposited in one account and then do transfers, keep them all at the same bank for sure.
Okay.
Okay, then the last account would be a savings account. Okay. And
Savings,
yeah. It could be a dirty word. A lot of different setups for savings account. It could be a money market. It could be just a regular savings account.
Right.
I actually like when I see, I have a lot of clients who use ING, which I think has just been bought by, I think, Capital One 360
now.
Yeah,
I'm not familiar with ING. I don't know much about that.
ING does online banking, and they allow you to have as many free accounts as you want. So I'll see people that will have six different savings accounts because they'll have a car account. They'll have a life insurance account or things that may
vacation
be,
club account.
Vacation account, exactly.
Like okay,
so you
got
can
it.
Budget for once a year things or once every few years. You can budget a certain amount every month that goes directly into those accounts. So that account setup, I see as one that people can have a lot of success with.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bulletproof. There's a little bit of money movement and stuff that has to happen, but it's pretty darn simple.
Mm-hmm.
You set everything up on auto payments through, you know, almost every bank account now has online bill pay.
Got it.
That will definitely simplify things.
That makes sense. It does.
In case you just joined us, you're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. Tammy and I just got married last Sunday.
Yay!
And we are talking about, as a newlywed couple, what are the things that we have to do to be successful financially and be on the same page? So, Tammy, are there things that I'm sure that you can see that are fears of when you combine money?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so important to get on the same page with your partner and have the same ideas about what you are going to spend the money on. And then who's going to pay the bills? Who's the one that's going to do that?
Because in every couple, there's one person that's a little more anal than the other person.
Right.
And they're the accountant of the family.
Right.
Now, some couples I talk to, neither one of them are really qualified.
Yeah, I have a couple of those.
Other couples, both people could be qualified.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like with us, you're a bookkeeper. Okay, you're a QuickBooks Pro, but you want me to actually pay the bills.
Yes.
And that's okay.
Yes. I did that in my other marriage. It's your turn. I'm just going to be honest. I'd like a break.
Well,
I'm willing to do it. And that's the thing about you and I is that, you know, we do communicate what the bills are. So, like, there's been so many. I will say, like, when couples that are, you know, the spouse dies and here we are in our late 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever, and the husband doesn't know anything about the bank accounts or the bills, or the wife for that matter doesn't know.
Absolutely.
That is so important that you stay. Just because you're doing it doesn't mean I'm not involved.
Well, okay, so that's a really, really good point I think we need to cover, is that the person that's paying the bills is not the one making the financial decisions.
No.
Because the other person in the relationship will frequently feel like the one paying the bills is trying to control them with money.
Yes. Right.
And
yes.
It's not about, I think you have to agree on the plan.
Right.
What's the plan as a couple? What's the plan with your budget? And then it's just accountability to the plan. It's not the person that pays the bills jumping up and down and screaming at the other person all the time.
Right.
And there needs to be
communication,
open disclosure that once a month you need to sit down and know where you are financially.
Exactly. And I think, like, you know, your plan of the expense accounts helps with that because, you know, when I go and I want to buy groceries and the account is saying, no, he just bought a big screen TV and I need groceries, that would be upsetting, you know. So that part really makes sense to me, and I think it's important to do. One thing that we have just a couple minutes, so can you touch a little bit on when you get married and how a person's credit affects the other person?
Okay, that's a great question, because I sit down with a lot of couples before they're married and then some couples right after they're married, and there's a lot of different things that come up. Okay, so whatever credit somebody had before they're married, as long as it's not a joint account with you, then it's not going to be on your credit. It's not necessarily going to affect
you. So it won't show up. Right.
It doesn't show up on your report. Now, once you have joint accounts, it will show up. So you have to be very careful there to make sure. We get all the time where somebody's not paying the bills on time, you know, right, even in a couple, and the other person doesn't know. Okay, or
right,
they've run up a bunch of debt and the other person doesn't know. So
exactly,
you don't hide those things. And sometimes it's because of vices. I've seen it with people with gambling problems.
Yeah, there's a lot of that goes on.
Oh boy, that can destroy a marriage,
right,
when people, you know, don't disclose things like that. So, but here's one of the common things is people, you know, one person has good credit and another person doesn't have good credit,
mm-hmm,
in the couple. You have to make a concerted effort to help repair the other person's credit. It's now,
mm-hmm,
it's now a team effort that you may have to be paying off some of the other person's debt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just part of being a couple.
Right.
You know, and it really takes a lot of work to grind through details to repair things that are on credit and start working toward that as a couple. So if you're in a situation where you could use that type of advice, you're a newly married couple and maybe you're renting, or maybe even one of you already has a house, but you want some advice on how to combine those finances, call me. I'd be happy to give you a free consultation. You can reach me at 314-472-DOUG. Again,
mm-hmm,
that's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, 3684. You can also text me to set up an appointment, too. So I'd be happy to help you, especially as a listener of the show. My thank you to you. So, Tammy, on this show, we always want to interview professionals in our industry. And coming up, we have Lisa Atkins, who's one of the top real estate professionals in the St. Louis area, and especially in St. Charles County. She's the owner of RE/MAX Platinum. We'll be visiting, mm-hmm, with Lisa when we return.
All right.
Listening to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Forever could never be long enough for me. I feel like I've had long enough with you. Forget the world now, we won't let them see. But there's one thing left to do. Now that the weight has lifted, love has surely shifted my way.